The Guardian.
Hello and welcome to Tech Weekly from The Guardian. I'm Alex Kratosky. This week, we're getting the inside scoop about the Indian technology scene. What are the hardware and the software trends coming from the subcontinent? And how will the country, predicted by Forrester Research to have the third largest internet population by 2013, affect how we use the web? This week, I'm joined by the head of HP Labs India and their senior research scientists, who will fill us in on their plans for the next 5 years. And we'll hear from Rocket Talk, the largest mobile social networking platform in Asia. All this and this week's news on Tech Weekly from The Guardian. India is a country of 1.2 billion people. And while only 7% of the population use the internet, according to the most recent internet statistics reports, Forrester Research has predicted that the country will soon be the third largest online marketplace, after the US and China. It's also a country of enormous diversity and complex cultural demands. A one-size-fits-all internet technological solution is absolutely not appropriate for the people that have been described as the next billion users. HP has a proactive presence on the subcontinent in the form of HP Labs India, under the directorship of Sudhir Dixit. Mr. Dixit joins us down the line with two of his senior research scientists, Geeta Munjunath and Sri Ganesh Madhavnath. I apologize for the pronunciation of your names if I have mangled them. Sudhir, can you tell me what the objective of HP Labs India is?
The main mission of our laboratory is to create new technologies for addressing the IT needs of the next billion customers of HP, most of them coming from new growth markets such as India. As you yourself mentioned, that the number of internet users in India is only 7%, and the PC ownership about 5% as well. Whereas there is a huge ownership of televisions in Indian homes. There are over 750 million mobile subscribers. So we are developing a solution that leverages these huge assets that people already have to help them use IT as much as possible.
What would you say are the distinctive technological, social, and economic features of India that demand attention for hardware developers? You mentioned, that there's a lot of mobile use. You mentioned the distribution of television sets, but certainly there are large rural and urban parts of India that aren't connected technologically. Can you talk a little bit about those specific features?
About 70% or more of Indian population lives in rural areas and tier 2 and tier 3 cities, whereas a lot of the technologies that are coming out, it's like one solution fits everybody, and which is typically not the case for a country like India because of diversity in language, the cultures that are there, and the unique way that they consume information. After looking at what are some of the barriers to adoption of IT by people living in Tier 2, Tier 3 cities who mostly speak local languages, and we found many barriers to adoption of IT. One of them is the keyboard and mouse that most people are very much intimidated with, and the people use paper everywhere. Paper is predominant in every aspect of their lives.
Now, each of you have very interesting backgrounds and specialisms. So I'd like to turn to Geeta and to Sriji. Could you tell me a little bit about your specific interests and what you're working on at the minute?
Most recently, for the last 4 years or so, I've been focusing more on the mobile and how that can help enable increased penetration of IT itself to the masses. And one of the recent pilots that we're doing is on enabling internet on the low-end phones.
So how much would you say your focus when you're developing your prototypes, when you're doing your research, is on the Indian market versus the global market, for example, for the mobile technologies?
Yeah, so I think we get the inspiration and sort of, you know, the ideas, understand the customer pain points from learning from the Indian market. But we've got requests from all over the world, in Africa, Singapore, UK, Europe, and also US, wanting to use internet by text messaging. So, yeah, the technology we developed for India is definitely going to be applicable to a larger audience.
Sriji, can you tell me a little bit more about your background and what it is that you're working on at the minute? Are you working on the hyperlinked paper project?
Yeah, actually, I have been looking at a number of different ways of interacting with computers. Paper is one modality. We've also been looking at stylus input, that is pen-based interfaces, gestural interfaces, speech interfaces, so a whole variety of interfaces which we think are more intuitive, more natural for people without a lot of background in the use of computers to use.
To what degree are your engineers encouraged to tinker and play? I mean, hyperlinked paper just sounds like the future. And it sounds like something that came out of a sandbox session when somebody just sat down and said, right, I'm going to create paper that you can, I don't know, how does it work? How does hyperlinked paper work?
So to give you a concrete example, so we base a lot of our research on user research that we do. So we had a team go out into a tier 2 town called Bhopal. And we did a study there of the kinds of things people want to do with paper. So paper is ubiquitous, it's very familiar, and we actually gave people camera phones and had them take a picture of pieces of paper every time it triggered a task in their minds. And we went back after a couple of weeks to see what they'd collected. And what we found was pretty amazing. There were people who had taken pictures of utility bills because they wanted those bills paid. There were people who had taken pictures of ads in the newspaper because they wanted more information. People were taking pictures of their kids' textbooks because children wanted more information about the text. So what this suggests is there is a need for information, there's a need for getting tasks done, often on the web, and then there's a way in which that can be triggered from paper. So what hyperlinked paper is, in a sense, is a way to trigger tasks or information feeds from the web from pieces of paper which people are very familiar with.
Well, thank you very much. Please do stay with us for the rest of the program. But first, here's the news.
The controversial Digital Economy Act has been held up by a High Court judicial review, meaning a delay to thousands of warning letters due to be sent to alleged illegal downloaders by ISPs. The legal challenge by TalkTalk and BT is expected to delay implementation of the law until at least summer 2012. Amazon today launched a music streaming service called Cloud Player, which allows users to play songs on multiple computers and Android phones. Users can upload their existing music and buy new songs, but the service essentially steals the thunder from both Apple and Google, who are reportedly planning their own streaming music services. An Iranian hacker has claimed he is responsible for stealing digital security certificates for sites including Google, Microsoft and Yahoo in retribution for the Stuxnet worm attack allegedly unleashed against Iranian nuclear sites by the US and Israel. There had been speculation that the hack was sponsored by the Iranian government to attempt to erode trust in online security, but posting on pastebin.com, the hacker claimed he worked alone. MySpace held discussions about selling to music video service Vivo, it is reported. News Corp approached Vivo, whose owners include Sony and Universal, about a sale, but talks later switched to discussing exchanging MySpace for a stake in Vivo.
Thanks, Jemima. More information on all these stories is at guardian.co.uk/technology. One of the important technological trends in India is mobile social networking. With 50 million mobile users in the country, according to TechCrunch, and over 10 million of these using their mobile phones to connect via services like SMS Gupshup and MiG33, which we profiled a few weeks ago on Tech Weekly. Another mobile social network making waves across Asia is Rocket Talk, which reportedly reached 7.8% of the mobile segment in October last year, more than the number of Indian users of Twitter. With over 350 million page views per month, with most of its users sending audio messages to one another in their native dialects, many of the people on Rocket Talk are reaching out to meet new people rather than seeking to connect with old friends. I was in Delhi in December and met with Rajiv Kumar, founder and CEO of Rocket Talk, and Samir Agarwal, the director of marketing for the company. I began by asking why the social network was established on mobile rather than on a desktop or laptop computer.
With a country like India, you know, there are 266 languages, right? You cannot make an app, we cannot make a product which is, you know, coded for different languages. But everybody speaks in their own language. So a typical day in RocketTalk is that 200, 300 million messages, people are speaking in their own language. So, you know, somebody from a small city in Calcutta is speaking their own language to people in Calcutta. Somebody in Bombay is speaking their own language.
Why did you found the mobile social network as opposed to an online social network? What was the inspiration?
The inspiration was that the mobile is so very personal on one side, and the other inspiration was people in India, where the web has not really gone down to the masses. The web numbers in India, depending on who you look at or talk to, is about 50 million people on the web, whereas there are 600 million people on the mobile phone. So it's obvious that we should have focused on the mobile phone, and that's where we chose to do so.
Do you think that that's going to have a massive influence then? Social networks like yours, mobile-based, mean then that fewer people will eventually go over to the Internet?
Well, they'll go to the Internet through their mobile. So everything is on the Internet. We are also on the Internet. It's really the access mechanism. The access mechanism is the mobile, the people's personal device right in their hands. That is what they're going to use rather than the laptop or the desktop. That's the only difference.
Can you tell me a little bit about what you view as the very specific culture of India, that in terms of the consumption, the use of applications and web services?
Whenever there's a product which comes from a Western world to India, you know, the early adoption of that product happens in top four cities, and it happens for a, you know, tip of the iceberg, and then it stops. The reason for that is that the large amount, the bottom of the pyramid, is in the small cities.
When I look at the trends in Europe and in the U.S., there was a big move initially for people to have alter egos, to develop virtual persona. And now, with the rise of social networks like Facebook and, you know, the sort of the buck against the trend of anonymity, you know, the idea of having to put your name down when you're registering for a website, do you see that as a trend that will emerge? Do you see that kind of that named element of identity emerging in India?
Indian consumers have two needs. One need is that very, very high aspirational level, and a certain set of discreteness is required, because, you know, their larger need is to meet new people. For bottom of the pyramid, the larger need is to meet new people, because they are in smaller cities, in isolations. We're still, you know, still talking to other people, or sometimes for in opposite genders, is still a very big taboo, and which will not go for another 100 years. It's going to be there, right? So for that scenario, that trend will not happen. So typically, over a period of time, yes, people will still use two services, but there will always be one bigger service where they have their alter ego.
Now, what do you see then over the next 10 years? How do you feel that something like RocketTalk and, you know, QQ in China, how do you feel that they will have an effect on the West?
We already have around 2 million users which are coming from worldwide, apart from India. And what we have seen is that definitely the larger interest is coming from, you know, Asia. But now, over a small period of time, what we have seen is that a lot of our users are also coming from Russia and Germany, so which is primarily Europe.
What is it that India can uniquely offer to the wider web and networking world?
We have just opened our platform, and there are around 4 or 5 companies who are we hand-holding right now. So I think the new trend will be for larger players to open APIs on the mobile side and people to build on top of it. So, you know, I think the biggest trend will be, you know, to sit on larger platforms like ours and to market to audience like ours.
So openness is clearly a trend. Are there any other technological trends that you can predict in the next 5-10 years coming out of India?
Payment in India is a very difficult thing. You may or may not be aware, there's only 2% of the people in India that have a credit card. So if you want to collect money directly from them, it's very, very difficult. Not just for us, for anybody who is operating in this space, whether on the web or on the mobile phone. You can choose to go through the operator, but the operator has a different way of attacking that problem, and they get to keep a very large percentage. And it's not very healthy, typically. So you have to solve the payment problem somehow. And I think some company in India or somebody who is coming to India will actually solve the payment problem using the phone as a means to pay other people.
Rajiv Kumar, founder, and Samir Argwal from mobile social network Rocket Talk. So, dear Geeta and Shriji, what is the mobile social network scene like in India? Actually, Geeta, can you tell me a little bit about that? Because your background is with mobile technology. How big is mobile social networking?
Right now, social networking services are being used by people who have access to PCs, right? So, especially in the educated, especially in the high school going kids, social networking is a big thing. Having said that, you know, things like Rocket Talk and so on probably will make it come to the mobile devices and make it really useful to this same audience. So using our technology of Site and Mobile, we can make existing Facebook and Orkut, which is a very famous social networking site that's used in India, available through SMS and voice, and hence things like Rocket Talk and experiences of that nature can be expanded to a lot more people and potentially useful to the different audience.
Shriji, your background has a bent towards web standards, things like the semantic web. Now, why do you feel that this is particularly important to a country like India? And how do you feel that the Indian approach that you pursue within the development of your prototypes and the development of web standards that are, you know, open and semantic, how will that affect the global market as they establish themselves in such a large internet population?
Yeah, so I think web standards have a very large role to play in, localization of content. Some of the specific standards activities we have been involved with have to do with the creation of new types of interfaces for a population that is not very tech-savvy. Specifically, there is the multimodal interaction activity of W3C, and we have been active members of that working group. Specifically, a standard called InkML for representation of digital ink. Now, ink, as in stylus input and pen computing, we think is an example of an interface which could be really, really natural for users who are not comfortable with the use of keyboards and mice. So there are a number of web standards which are really accessing various aspects of content, interfaces and so on, which we think are very relevant to these markets.
It is interesting, given the potential size, the next billion users, as you say, the potential size of the Indian marketplace. If you're very invested and involved with consortia like the W3C or the semantic web movement, then that certainly has implications, doesn't it, for what is adopted globally? Don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. So these standards, especially with the semantic web and the ability to mark up semantics in websites, is really going to make it possible for users to access the web in many different ways, not just through browsers, because that's not necessarily the easiest way for someone who's not tech-savvy to do it. So semantic markup really makes it possible to, for example, get questions answered, to get tasks performed without really approaching the web in the traditional browser search kind of paradigm.
Sudhir, finally, what would you say are some of the other exciting trends that are coming out of India? Which companies and services should we keep an eye on?
I think a lot is happening in the healthcare industry. People are looking at solutions to take healthcare to rural areas using the wireless technology that is so widely prevalent in India. So healthcare is definitely one where there is a lot of activity. The other one is the education space. It's a huge market in India, with the number of schools that have come up in the past few years. There is a shortage of teachers, and with the internet infrastructure there, there is no reason why the students shouldn't have access to the best teachers from anywhere. So there's a lot of activity in that space. And on the social innovation, which you had asked me earlier, people are looking at how to leverage the ownership of entry-level phones to make it possible for an average wage earner to offer their services to anybody who wants it in the local community using SMS technology and how can a consumer who wants their services can leverage their friend circle to find out who to get the service from, rather than getting the recommended service from somebody that they do not know. So there are a number of solutions that are in the works in India on the social innovation side to help people generate more income and to increase productivity. And you will probably find it fascinating that people are also looking at aging population. Obviously, the family size is becoming smaller and smaller in India. A lot of people are living longer and in their old age when their children have gone away. And there is a desire to keep connected with the technology through video conferencing or being able to interact using the television that is at home, and being able to keep informed of how each other is doing, especially when children are going away to remote places, to foreign countries. So there is a lot happening for the aging population too. So there are many interesting things happening, and as you know, the infrastructure continues to be a big challenge with the growth that is happening in India. And we believe the only thing that can solve these huge problems is the IT. IT can solve a lot of problems when it comes to energy, lack of energy, the lack of roads, the lack of schools, lack of teachers who can teach the students who are very aspirational. So there is a whole lot of opportunities for IT in a country like India, provided we can develop the right kind of solutions at right price point and offer services that give more value for money.
Well, thank you.
People there are extremely value conscious.
Well, thank you very much to Dear Geeta and Shriji from HP Labs. You can find out more about Rocket Talk at rockettalk.com. That's it for this week. Many thanks to our guests. And next week, we'll be hearing from the top banana at YouTube, Hunter Walk, about the future of the video service. Come back next Tuesday to hear more. This week's episode was produced by Scott Colley. I'm Alex Kratosky. Thanks for listening.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.